Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for the mayor, remember you can still email those in to ask@wbaa.org. And good afternoon, Mayor Sheets.
Good afternoon. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing well. And I have to say, Good. Because we are still in January, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, yesterday was a big day, a historic day. Were you able to watch any of the inauguration events as they unfolded throughout the day?
I did. I got to watch a little bit of it. I was really super busy yesterday, so I just got to see bits and pieces of it. But I thought everything went really well.
Okay. So we'll start off with an update on COVID. Clinton County was in the state's red COVID-19 category, which is the most serious category. But yesterday, it looks like the county made some progress. It's now back in the orange category for now. Can you talk about that back and forth a little bit, why you think things have maybe started to improve in your area?
Yes, actually, it does say that we went into the orange, but we have to remain in that red category. I believe it's for 2 weeks before they'll officially take us out of there. But our numbers have been down the last few days, so I'm very impressed with that. I think people are being very conscientious about the social distancing, wearing the mask, and sterilizing, you know, the different surfaces. I know the restaurants and different businesses are really taking this serious and making sure that that's happening.
So COVID vaccines also are becoming more available to more of the public. Right now, the state it opened up registrations for Hoosiers 70 years of age and older. So I wanted to ask, first of all, where are vaccinations happening for that group in your area in Clinton County?
Okay, out on Rossville Avenue, we have a center set up out there that they're doing that. It is where our Healthy Communities and our Board of Health is out on Rossville Avenue. I don't have the exact number, but they have to register, though, in order to get an appointment to go in and get that vaccination. And from my understanding, it's been difficult to get in. They have a lot of people that are taking advantage of this vaccination.
I wanted to ask what you were hearing from residents about that sign-up process, because, you know, I think that has been a challenge for some people. We've certainly heard from some folks here who've maybe waited on the phone for a long time if they called 211 or had, you know, an hour's wait logging into the website. What are people saying to you about that?
You know, I had heard that as well, not so much maybe locally, but like you said, in other areas, you know, maybe in the Tippecanoe County or something like that. I have not heard of any problems in Clinton County with people being able to register. The big thing is right now they just don't have the appointments available because they have so many people trying to get the vaccination. So
I guess it also looks like I've seen this mentioned a couple times, I think from the health department, and then, as you mentioned, the Health Communities of Clinton County Coalition. They need nurses. They need people to check in or register clients. They need people to help document the vaccinations, and then, of course, people to administer the vaccinations. You know, how can local officials help facilitate some of that as well, just to make sure there are enough people to do everything that needs to be done?
Absolutely. And I know that the health department knows that they can reach out to the city at any time if there's anything that we can do to help them with this process. We also, on our website and also on our Facebook page, have been sharing that information through the Department of Health, encouraging people that if they are able to volunteer for these positions. It takes a lot of people to put this clinic together, so it's very important that they get the volunteers.
So do you, I know we've talked a bit before, and you know, I know that you will sometimes meet with the health department to discuss these things. Do you know, or can you tell us anything about, you know, how many doses they're getting? You know, do they have a good supply in place to give to Clinton County residents?
I know that the last time that I had talked to them that there is still the limited supply. You know, they only have a certain amount that they are able to get right now. They're hoping that that amount picks up, you know, over the weeks to come. But right now, I think it's limited.
So do you think, it sounds like there's still, so I just want to clarify, you know, are people having in that specific age group, you know, they are or they aren't able to get online, get an appointment? You know, how many people are they able to kind of get in every day if you have that info?
I do not have that number. That's something that the Department of Health would have. I just don't have that information. It's not something that, you know, that they provide to me. But I have not heard of any problems outside of the people that have tried to make the appointments, and of course it's full. But other than that, I'm not hearing any situations that they're having. We haven't had anything like through my office or through the city that, you know, people that are unhappy or having problems with that.
So we're also we're seeing that you know, first responders are able to get vaccinated. How is the city working to facilitate that process?
Okay, we're allowing our first responders to do this if they're on duty or not. You know, we're providing them the opportunity to get the vaccination. We're encouraging it. At this time, we have not mandated anything as far as getting the vaccination for city employees. We're just encouraging them to do that and helping them have the time available to go get it.
Do people seem interested in getting the vaccination? Are you hearing from people that they might? I think we've talked about this before, but from city employees specifically, could it be an issue if people don't want to get vaccinated? You know, has that seemed like it could be a problem?
Not so far. I have not heard anything negative towards the vaccination. And as a matter of fact, I think our first responders are eager to get that. You know, they want to get the vaccination. So I don't know the exact numbers at each one of the departments, but I know the police and fire both had several already that had received at least the first dose.
Okay. Mayor, we have a listener question for you today. This is from Vicki. She wrote in this morning. She says, greetings, and then asks, does Frankfort have any community gardens? If so, where are they? If not, can we start one? She says, thank you, and thank you for your question, Vicki. So, Mayor.
Community gardens. There were, I think, I want to say that the Salvation Army maybe at one time had one. I don't know of any that we have going right now, but I think it's a great idea. We had a retired school teacher, and that's been probably 10 years ago. He used to have a garden, and then he would give vegetables and fruits to people, you know, as they needed them. But not that I'm aware of that we have anything right now, but I would be very open to that. I think that'd be a great idea.
Well, I know I was thinking as I read her question, you know, you've lived in Frankfort all your life, and you're mentioning 10 years ago. Can you think about anything like that in all the time that you've lived there, any kind of group effort for gardening?
I do know, like I said, it was a retired teacher, and he had a open lot out on the west end of Frankfort, and he planted that, and then he shared his produce with others in the community. And other than that, I don't know of anyone else. At one time, I was thinking it might be like Salvation Army, and I also know that in Mulberry, that's a small town, you know, mm-hmm. just west of us, mm-hmm. they also had a community garden, and I believe they had it just this past year. But like I said, I'd be very open to something like that. If anybody wants to start that or get with me, I would love to hear their ideas on it.
Okay. You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks for being with us. And right now we are talking with Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. So at the very end of last month's show, we kind of quickly went through some initiatives you wanted to focus on in your first year as mayor, and you didn't maybe get a chance to because COVID kind of overtook those plans. And we ran through the bullet points, but I wanted to go back to those today and get some follow-up questions for you. So first of all, you mentioned projects that did get completed, like Prairie Creek Park, and then projects that kind of had to be put on hold, like the Aquatic Center. So to start off with, do you have a sense of when that particular project might be revived this year, or if not this year, in the future?
I'm hoping that we can bring it up to the council, to the finance committee, in maybe like March or April. I think the big thing right now, of course, are the revenue sources that are going to be able to, you know, be used for this project. I don't want it just to get put to the wayside and, you know, we forget about it. I think we need to at least discuss it again and see if it's something that we can move forward on yet this year or if it's something we're going to have to put off. I really, really think that we need the Aquatic Center. So I'm hoping that we can come up with some sort of a plan for the future.
Can you remind us where that was left as a refresher? What was kind of where were things left with that before you kind of had to set it aside?
Back in, I'm trying to think, I believe it was probably February that we had actually taken, had received bids. And at that time, it came in $1 million to $1.5 million over. And so we knew at that time that there were going to have to be some things done about that. Well, then it was just probably a month later that COVID came in, and then we decided, you know, revenues could be affected, and which that's how we were going to pay for the pool was with income tax. And so we decided at that time it was probably going to have to be put on hold, not only because of the over budget that it came in, but also we are not sure about the revenue.
So when you say that, you know, you feel like Frankfort needs this aquatic center, why would you say that? What do you think that will bring to the community? Why is that worth pursuing?
I think with the children in town, I think it's something that they've really missed. I think that they need something like this, an activity that they can go to. We are very limited in Frankfort about things for them to do, things they could go to. And I always felt like the pool was a popular place for the kids to go to in the summertime. I know even when I was growing up, that's what we loved to do is go out to the pool. So I think it's a very important amenity. And, it's like something that the kids can do that they just don't have the opportunity to go out of town. I know there's, you know, other center aquatic centers like in Lebanon, Lafayette, but we need something here locally for the kids.
So you also talked last month about just kind of wanting to generally take a look at the city's finances and revenue, which we're kind of talking about right now, before you became mayor last year and you were just one of three candidates. You and I talked about how you wanted to finish some of these big projects and then maybe take a step back and reassess where things were at. Now, again, that was pre-COVID, pre a lot of things. But is that still a goal or how has that goal changed over the last year to take that step back?
That still is a goal of mine. I'm pretty conservative. You know, with the money, and of course, being clerk treasurer for 12 years, you know, I was very much aware of finances and, you know, some things that maybe needed to be looked at. And so I knew that once we were able to get Prairie Creek Park finished, and I was hoping for the Aquatic Center and the police department, I thought, that's a lot. That is a lot from a financial side for the city to take on for right now. So if we can get those projects completed, then I think it would be time to take a look again and say, how much do we want more debt? Do we not want to have this debt? I think that's something that really needs to be looked at.
So, again, how has that, you already kind of had that top of mind as you were looking at possibly being mayor. Do you feel that, I mean, you had to set the Aquatic Center aside. We're talking about revenue. I mean, what are your concerns about revenue, I guess, as we're looking, you know, in 2021 now? Where do you see some bottlenecks coming up?
Well, in 2021, I'm not sure that we're going to see the full effect of the income tax. They tell us that it's going to be 2022 before the city actually can feel that as far as the revenues coming in. So I think this year we just kind of sit back, we look at things. I'm sure projections are going to be out on what they think as far as this income tax. But that's how we were going to fund the pool. So that is a very important aspect of this. We are still going to move forward at this time on the police department, which is also public safety income tax, local income tax. So far we're thinking we're going to be good for that, to go ahead and start and to bid that job out, I'm hoping spring of this year.
So I know I probably more than one conversation with former Mayor Chris McBarnes about and saw myself and heard from people from Frankfort residents who sometimes got a little nervous about the city spending money on projects, got a little anxious. People are worried the money's not there. And then there are people who said, no, we need to spend money to make Frankfort a better place to live, to attract more people to come here. How do you think people feel now about spending money on city projects? Has that changed?
you know, I have not heard anything from the public really one way or the other. People seem to be okay with that. We know that, you know, they know that we're moving forward on the police department. I have not heard anything from the general public as far as if they think that's a good idea, that's not a good idea, to spend the money. I'm hoping that people trust us to make good decisions. You know, it'd be myself, the council, as we move forward. And I think they have a trust in their elected officials right now that, you know, we're going to make good, strong, wise decisions.
I also want to say, I mean, you inherited some projects that were ongoing. I mean, obviously you were clerk treasurer, so you were involved. But are there projects you want to see come to fruition? Your own Mayor Sheets initiatives, not, you know, not Prairie Creek Park or the Aquatic Center that were kind of already ongoing. What have you been thinking about? And again, you're a little constrained by circumstances right now, but what would you personally want to put out there and get off the ground?
You know, I think right now my biggest concern is maybe not necessarily the big projects, because like you said, they're already kind of in the process. You know, Prairie Creek Park, we're finishing it up. Police Department was something that's kind of been in the making for maybe 3 or 4 years. So that's something that I was really, really wanting to happen was the Police Department. Even though it was in the making, it was still not there. Do you know what I mean? We had to get it to the point that now we need to do the financing, we need to do the architectural work. So that's one of them. I know it's not my project, but it's something that's really near and dear to my heart. You know, I mean, I worked at the police department, so that's something I wanted. Other than that, I think my big thing right now is to focus on growth in the city. You know, I have other things that housing is a big thing that I'm concerned about, because as we expand, as we have the economic growth, we need housing in Frankfort, and so that's going to be a top priority of mine, is to see what we can do to focus on that.
And you went to my next question.
Because
you touched on that last month. You said that that is a concern for you. You mentioned that houses are going quickly in Frankfort. You know, what is the current housing stock in Frankfort? What is the housing situation?
I will tell you, we are in desperate need of housing. Houses do not stay on the market for very long. It's like they put them up for sale one day, and by the next day, they're gone. You know, we just cannot have enough housing. And so I think it's important that as we grow, that we have more houses. And we have some things we're hoping that'll work out for us in the housing. We have a couple of subdivisions that we're looking at, and keeping our fingers crossed that we can get them moving yet this year.
So when you talk about growth, I mean, are you seeing more people moving into Frankfort for jobs? You know, what is fueling that need for more housing, do you think?
Well, I think just the fact that we would like for people to move into Frankfort. We have a lot of people that come in to work at I don't know the percentage, but that come in to work from other communities. And I would like to have something that would attract them to work here and to live here and to be a part of this community. So I think if we can get the housing developments going, maybe that would encourage them to come here and to make this their home as well.
So, and I was thinking too, you know, how do you think about how to serve different populations with different types of housing? You know, and you just mentioned subdivisions. Maybe people who are thinking about whether or not they should just go ahead and make the move permanent. I work here. I should live here. Compared to someone who maybe has been living in Frankfort for a while, maybe they just want to go into a different space. You know, are you seeing that there are different types of housing needs, I guess, from different people?
Oh, absolutely. We have we have all sorts of needs for our housing. We need new housing. We need affordable housing. That's one of the things that I really look at. We have, you know, young married couples, people that are just moving here out of college, or, you know, just maybe moving here for a new job. So there's all sorts of needs out there. And of course, people that live here might want to move into a different location or a different type of housing. So there are several different classes of needs here, I believe.
So since how long would you say you've been thinking about this as a concern or as something that you know might need to deal with, or the city might need to deal with? Or have you been aware of this, you know, for a while?
Oh, probably in those last 6 months or so. When I first took over office, I'm guessing I wasn't really thinking about the housing right then. And then, of course, when COVID came along, but I say probably in the last 6 months or so, I've realized the need for that. You know, I've been very concerned about that.
Is that, I'm interested, is that, you know, just having conversations with people about, you know, issues they're running into? You know, have you heard from people, gosh, I had a lot of trouble buying a house, like you said, it went on the market, it went right away. You know, what kind of prompted that? What made you start thinking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I look at that, people were saying, you know, pretty much you almost had to look at a house before it even went on the market to get it. And I saw that as a concern to people in Frankfurt that, you know, we just didn't have that housing available. And then also as you try to attract new people to live here, you want to have good, affordable housing for them to look at.
So we were talking about how Frankfurt is, they're putting together this new police station, and that will kind of be an ongoing project. I wanted to ask you about the Clinton County Public Safety Complex. What can you, first of all, if you can just explain for us, what is that? What is that
okay.
complex?
I know a little bit about that. That is being put together by Matt Stenham, and he's working with the county officials and the city officials, as well as some of the towns, to have a training facility here. And he's hoping to locate that at our emergency management area out by the fairgrounds. It's something that he's come up with. It's something that's, you know, near and dear to him. And he first brought it to my attention probably 3 or 4 months ago. And he also spoke to the council and asked them if it was something that they would support. It'd be very beneficial to our departments because it could do a lot of local training, not having to go out of town to receive their training.
So
it would be for police and fire.
So, and who, you know, can you speak to some of the different agencies that would be using the complex? Because it looks like Frankfurt Police and Fire, but it's a broader group, right?
Right. It'd be Frankfurt Police and Fire. It'd be the Clinton County Sheriff's Department could use it. You could have it open to the volunteer fire departments and, of course, to the towns. They're hoping to make it countywide available and maybe even bring people in outside of the county for training.
So I was going to ask, and you said, so city public safety agencies train currently out of town.
Yes. Sometimes they have to go out of town to receive their training, and I think this would be much more beneficial. And maybe it would be closer, but maybe be able to get more training in as well, since it was right here with us.
So as you were talking about this being near and dear to someone's heart, has it just kind of been a discussion about, I guess, some of the difficulties or the challenges that are presented by having to leave? You know, was there a specific thing that happened that prompted the kind of putting this together?
Nothing specific, but of course, anytime that you have an officer or firefighter have to go out of town for training, then that is going to maybe short the shifts, or they may have to go and stay overnight. You know, this way, if we have the facility right here, they could probably do it on less time, maybe not have to spend the night somewhere. The cost of doing that, I think just everything together would make it so nice to have something locally for them to train.
So I noticed, I was looking at the kind of the picture, I saw what looked, these are shipping containers, something along those lines. I was trying to understand kind of the setup, you know, how does this get used exactly?
Yeah, I on that I'm not really sure. Matt Stidham is the one that has designed this, and he showed it to me, and it was like what you said, like containers that they're going to use to do this. I think cost-wise, that was something that they looked at, plus being practical for them as well.
Frankfurt's Police Department also, I was seeing they announced it's now going to be using it's called the Relay app. So people can download this app and then use it to communicate with the police department. And it's not for emergencies. It said it would be more for, it looks like, code enforcement violations. If someone has a noise or an animal complaint, maybe a burglary, suspicious persons or vehicles. So what prompted that switch? What made them decide that that was a better way to have the public communicate with them?
Well, Chief Shoemaker brought that to my attention, and the Board of Works is something that he would like to put into effect. He thought it would be very beneficial to the community. He also thought maybe he would get a community response on these more minor violations, you know, that maybe the community would be more active to let us know that rather than to call 911 or to call central dispatch. Maybe they would do it through this type of communications that maybe we could get a better response. And I'm thinking it's going to be a good thing for us. I think it's going to be good. Now, of course, it's not going to take the place of 911 or our NCSL, but it's something that people, if they see something, they don't really want to call in to 911 or to our central dispatch. They can call there and or give their information, and people don't even have to know who's doing that. But it would make it easier for them.
And it looks like, so you said they'll still be using NCSL. It looks like they'll still use that for maybe broader alerts, maybe
yes,
bigger things that people do need to know about. Has there been, that you know of, I mean, has 911 been not struggling with, but maybe gotten more calls on minor things than maybe they thought they wanted to deal with?
Not at all. I don't think that entered into this at all. This was just a program that he had looked at, thought it sounded really good, something that would be good for the community, and have, you know, introduced that to myself and to our Board of Works as to allow him to move forward on that. And that's all that really came about. It's just something that he had heard about. Other communities were using it, and he was just thinking of the results that would have for the city of Frankfort.
And so how does it kind of help the you worked for the police department, like you said, for a long time. You know, how does that help them manage workload and responses to calls and all of that if they're getting kind of that direct information from people to check out?
Yes, I think it's much more convenient for them because they can go directly to that. They can go, you know, take care of the call and maybe in more time effective that way. But yeah, I think it's going to work out really well for them as far as communicating with the community.
Okay. So as we mentioned earlier, it is January. I see there are no more Christmas lights at TPA Park. That time of the year is over. Do you miss them, Mayor Sheets? I know you're fond of them.
Yes, I love them. I love them. We went out many times during the season.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great turnout this year. So many people came to the park this year, and our donations, I will just tell you, they were fantastic. People were so good to donate to the lights, which is what makes it happen. That's why we can do it. We do it all through donations. There's no charge. But we had over $40,000 that we brought in this year for donations. That's awesome.
So did you learn, did you do things a little bit differently this year? Did you learn anything you might apply next year or in years to come, even when COVID restrictions are over?
Well, I think one thing is I talked to the park superintendent, which really isn't an improvement or not an improvement, but he wants to know how many vehicles come through. So I think next year we're going to come up with a way that we can, you know, count the number of vehicles that come through and keep better track that way.
Okay, that is our time for today. Mayor Sheets, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of the day.